Deuteronomy 28. If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, both the increase of your cattle and the increase of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, in all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open for you his rich storehouse, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all your undertakings. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be only at the top and not at the bottom, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, by diligently observing them, and if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I am commanding you today, either to the right or to the left, following other gods to serve them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you are a generous and good and giving God, and that you give us your word. We pray that as we think about it now, you will do good to us and train us up to be more like the Lord Jesus. And we ask that in his name. Amen. Amen. God is a God who feeds his people. God is a God who feeds his people. We can look at the amazing range of food that we've got behind me, or the bread at the back. We can look at the food in our cupboards and on our tables, and we know that God is a God who feeds his people. And this morning we say to God, thank you for feeding us. It's one of the reasons that Christians often celebrate harvest, even in places which are a long way from where any actual harvesting takes place. I grew up in North London and I spent years of harvest singing "We plough the fields and scatter" in a room full of people who did no such thing. But there have been lots of signs of harvest in walking around Lechlade in recent weeks. Not long ago it seemed that every day as I walked up and down the main road I was passed by two or... Well, may they rejoice, because harvest is hard work. I remember in my previous job I used to commute up and down the M5, and nights at this time of year driving back up quite late at night and seeing in the fields either side of the motorway farmers hard at work under, because I couldn't get hold of it. And that might happen sometimes. Sometimes if you're after skimmed milk you might have to put up with semi-skimmed, or you might have to go to one or two different shops before you find what you want. Maybe your tomato crop isn't great in the garden one year. Much more seriously, if you are a farmer, maybe one year your crop suffers. But in this part of the world, it's very unlikely that any of that is going to mean that we starve. But for people in Bible times, that wasn't guaranteed. But with a full harvest in, they knew that they would not perish in the months to come. They had enough in their stores for the months to come, and they were ready until the next crop was ready for gathering. And I reckon if you offered an ancient Israelite three wishes, quite a lot of them would say, well, let's have a good harvest. And they knew that hard work wasn't a guarantee. Crops can fail. Cattle can die. War can come. All sorts of things can stop harvest. They worked extremely hard, but they had to rely on God to keep them safe and well by providing for them. And so it was good news for them to know that God is a God who feeds his people. And we saw that in our reading from Deuteronomy, where God holds out to his people the promise of harvest blessings. I don't know if you've ever read all of it, but the whole of the book of Deuteronomy, almost all of it, is Moses speaking to the people of God as they are camped to the east of the Jordan River. They're waiting to cross over and enter the land that God has promised to give them. It's an extraordinary book full of anticipation. It's that solemn moment, that holding your breath before something awesome happens. Maybe if you've ever been to a wedding service, you know, people come in and it's fun and bubbling and seeing families and joy and laughter. And then there's a moment when the vicar starts explaining about what's about to happen. The vows that the couple will take, the seriousness of what they're about to enter into. And there's a hush of serious excitement that fills the church. And it's that sort of moment that we have in Deuteronomy. That poise on the brink. I need to catch up my slides a little bit here. Let's go to there. Because this book, the book of Deuteronomy, is a book of covenant. It's a book of a royal legal agreement between God and his people. And then he asks them to make their choice, to make their vows and their covenant to be God's people. And in our verses, we see part of the great choice that God lays before his people. He says, I've done all this for you. This is the law I want you to live by. And so if you will obey my commandments, if you will be loyal to me, I will bless you over and over and over. If you've still got that passage in front of you, you might just want to cast your eyes over it. A few of the things that God promises. Verse 3, your city will be blessed and your fields will be blessed. Verse 12, you'll have all the rain you need to soften the ground and swell the corn. Three times, verse 11, verse 4 and verse 5, your crops will grow. They will be strong and plentiful and you will have all the bread and all the fruit that you could eat. Your cattle, well, they won't get sick, they won't miscarry, they won't give birth with difficulty. And the calves and the lambs, they'll be healthy and strong, they'll give you the wool and the meat and the milk that you depend on. And God's fruitfulness doesn't end there. He says you'll be able to have all the children you want. And they'll be safe and they'll be healthy and you'll have enough to feed them with. And in verses 7, 10 and 13, the nations around you won't be able to lift a finger against you. You'll be secure and safe. In fact, they will be in awe of you. And in verse 12, they'll make trade with you in ways that are always to your advantage. God says, I will give you everything you need. Because I am a God who feeds his people. Can you hear the overflowing generosity in what God holds out to those who are his people? I wonder if you can feel something of the joy that those Israelites must have felt as this was laid out before their imagination. Our God is a God who feeds us. Amazing. We'll never have to have that anxiety over harvest again. He's promised. But I'm sure you noticed as David read it for us, it does depend on something. God says, I am a God who feeds my people, but you have to be my people. It comes again and again, verse 1, verse 2, verse 9, verse 13, verse 14. You have to choose me, says God, over other gods. And that includes the God of your own self-ego. You have to put me first. You have to show me that you are mine. You have to show the world that you are mine by living the way that I give you to live. And if you don't do that, if you move outside of following me, well, the rest of the chapter brings a terrifying list of curses. Because God is the only source of goodness, and if you move away from God, you move away from that goodness. If you move away from God and his life, where is there to go but death? So choose me, says God. Choose me and choose life. God is a God who feeds his people, but you do have to be his people. The kind of people who love him and follow him. The people who say, thank you for feeding us. It makes sense, doesn't it? And it shows that God is loving and good and generous. I think it is easy to mishear it. It can sound like you do what God wants and he gives you what you want. You know, like a vending machine. If you've got the right change, you put the right thing in, you press the right button, you get the right can of Coke. Or tipple of your choice. Or it can sound, you know, like, be a good boy and you'll get that sports car for Christmas. Or even more insidiously, follow God's commands and you'll never be hungry. Follow God and you'll never be poor. Follow God and you'll never get ill. And we see in the world around us, and I think we know, each of us in our own lives, that that's not true. And that is not what God promises. No, God is generous and good, and he longs to bless those who follow him. The trouble is, we none of us follow him perfectly. What he says of who he is and how, what he wants of us is true here, but we need something more. It's not a vending machine. We need to lift our eyes. We need to draw a line between this and how Jesus expands and fulfills and deepens it in who he is and what he says. You might want to turn over in your Bible, if you've got it open in front of you, to chapter to page 94 in the New Testament, chapter 6 of John's Gospel. I'm sure you've heard of Jesus feeding 5,000 with a handful of loaves and fish. As he does that, he shows, Jesus, who is God incarnate, he shows that God has not changed. God the Son is still the God who feeds his people. Just as he promised to do back in Deuteronomy, now he comes and he does that miraculously, as only God can. But afterwards, a crowd rush after him. They're following him. They want more of the same. They want God the vending machine. If I do the right thing, God gives me what I want. And Jesus sees right into their hearts. You see, they were coming for what they could get. More bread and less work. Another miracle to talk about. They wanted full stomachs and easy lives, but what they didn't want was God. And that was never God's plan, not even in that Deuteronomy passage. That is not what God is saying. That the heartbeat of that covenant in Deuteronomy isn't, I am your God and I'll take care of your Tesco's order. It's come. Come and be my people. I am a good God and I love you and I have rescued you. Come and be my people. I am a good God. I am a God who feeds his people. Be the people who say, thank you for feeding us. To be done in the meantime. God is not content merely to feed your body in that way. He is the God who feeds his people with something better than just. Do not wear your heart out getting those things, protecting them, and seeking to satisfy yourself in them, because they will not satisfy. God is a God who feeds his people with something better. He himself is the bread of life. And he offers to feed your deepest longing, not just with bread, but with intimate relationship with him forever. Something that will never perish or get used up or run out. And he offers to meet your need and my need, our deepest need of forgiveness and acceptance and peace through the offering of his Son, broken on the cross. As we look at the cross and as we remember the death of Jesus, as we take communion this morning, we are hearing God say once again, I am a good God and I love you. I have rescued you. Come and be my people. I'm a good God. I am a God who feeds his people. Be the people who say, thank you for feeding us. And my prayer for all of us, individually and as a church, is that more and more we will all be his people. People who obey his commands, in the words of Deuteronomy, without turning to the right or to the left. And most of all, that we will be people who cling to and believe in the one who he sent. The one who feeds our hearts daily, the bread of life himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who feeds his people. Help us to feed on what truly lasts. Help us to feed on you, the one true God. May you be our deepest longing and our great delight this day and evermore. Amen.